This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour 4, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Expressway is coming up in 20 minutes. LA Live in 40. Let's jump into the world of football with an addition to the finest. Here's Eric.
50, boys. 50 days until the NFL kicks off. For real, for real. And we are 7 days away from hopping on a bird. And
50, yeah.
Going 50. To the West Coast. It's training camp time. Very, very exciting. Our football coverage leading up to training camp on 105.3 The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Yeah, 50 days away. 50 days away. Very, very exciting. And there's plenty of football news here. You know, one of the things, did we see the, I don't even know how to say this guy's name, Quinn Meinerz?
Yes, Quinn Meinerz.
Nailed it.
Badass offensive guard, man. I remember him at the Senior Bowl.
Got a big extension, huh?
Well, yes. He always rocks the gut. And he, yeah. I mean, his Senior Bowl story was fantastic. I think he was like a small school guy that was out like pass blocking drills in the woods and stuff.
Yeah, so he's a D3 football player whose final year in college was nullified because of COVID.
Right.
And so he didn't get to play at all. So he barely even got invited to the Senior Bowl. Because at the time, Landon Dickerson had gotten injured in the national title game and had to bow out of the Senior Bowl. So then this kid gets an opportunity. D3 dude, didn't even play his senior year. And the way he was prepping for the Senior Bowl was, and there's a bunch of videos of this, is this dude in the woods, in the jungle, as you mentioned, Walchuk, and he is doing pass blocking drills and run blocking drills versus oak trees.
And he dominated the Senior Bowl. I mean, it was like, wow, this kid's going to be an absolute badass.
It's a pretty amazing story. This dude, D3, doesn't play his senior year. He's blocking trees, gets a lucky invite, sort of a petty invite to the Senior Bowl.
Thanks
he dominates.
Injury.
Yeah. Ends up being drafted in the third round, which was impressive in and of itself. And then now he's played so well for the Broncos that he just got the 4-year, $80 million fatty boomba.
Good for him, man.
What a turnaround, man.
You love those stories. I just wonder how many other potential stars there were that kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a Kurt Warner type story.
Yeah, I always believe in the idea of like if you're good enough, you will be found.
Sure, me too.
But there's definitely been some
there's
of
always
that
some.
Slipped through the cracks.
Gotta be.
You know? But him blocking a tree, I don't know, is that something you'd ever seen before? Brought us in your years of scouting, guys blocking trees. I mean,
never.
I saw one where he put a shoulder in a tree, and it wasn't a huge tree,
yeah.
But he broke that thing in half.
He did. He was breaking
yeah,
trees.
Yeah, I've never seen me block trees before, no.
Like, we've seen the Rocky Balboa,
the, yeah,
you're working
cars,
out with
all
logs.
That stuff. Yeah.
He might be trendsetting.
That seems to be, like the big thing at the O-line Masterminds deal is just these guys are pulling and pushing vehicles.
Yes.
I see a new video every day of a Cowboys offensive lineman pulling and or pushing like an F-150.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the new cool way of doing it.
Strength training, baby.
And I
yeah, it
saw,
seems functional too. You know,
for sure. Yeah,
giant
I mean,
sled.
It's
yeah.
just basically a giant sled. Yeah. But I also saw they got all these offensive linemen in Frisco.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody wheeling in a giant wagon. It's like four cardboard boxes of nothing but Wingstop Ranch.
Yeah.
I guess they were like they're catering lunch and it's Wingstop and it feels
camp,
like
right?
a lifetime supply
it's
worth
in Frisco.
Of
yeah, the camp.
A,
yeah.
Worth
I wonder
of
how much food they have to get to supply these offensive linemen for this. And shout out to Duke Manyweather again, who's the one running it all.
And I wonder if they're hollering at old Matt Pittman to come out there and dial up something
just cook
cool
for those
for
boys.
Yeah.
Would not mind that.
Why wouldn't you?
I know.
I mean, my goodness.
I know they dabbled in bringing the guys from Waco last year or Cleburne. No, Corsicana. Yeah, we had the champion
over,
barbecue
yeah,
guy.
Dropped off. Yeah, yeah that yeah. was delicious barbecue.
And I think they were out there for a similar type Gosh. Of deal, whether a treat for the players or a sponsor thing or something.
What was that barbecue called? Oh my!
The best ever.
It is it the so one that good. We got hand delivered in Oxnard?
Yes, yeah. they brought it to us in Oxnard,
oh,
but they have a spot here in Texas.
Oh gosh.
I got books.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You got the guy's cookbook, right?
Yes, we did.
Belden? Bluden?
You're almost there. Keep going.
It's B-U. It's B-L-U-D.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
B-L-U-D?
Bledsoe.
Not Bledsoe.
Bledsoe.
You worked it out, baby.
Yeah, I started spelling it in my head.
Kevin Bledsoe. Yeah.
Bledsoe's, yeah.
Gosh, that was incredible, dude. That was incredible.
But they do have Blues Barbecue off Preston here, locally.
Dude, we got to try and figure out, because Matt Pittman's going to be in Oxnard at some point. I don't know if it coincides with when we're there. Obviously, Brad, you're going to be there the whole time, so you'll see it. You'll smell it. You need to get in the mix on some of this Pittman stuff. Yeah, if we're there, if we're on the tennis courts and Pittman's out there smoking out a little something, you bet your rear end I'm going over there trying to get a piece.
Is he cooking for the players?
Yeah, he's cooking for the players. I think he's got like at least like one, there's going to be like one special day where he is, or maybe a full week. I don't know, but his presence will be felt and smelt and in a lot of ways tasted for those guys. Hopefully for us too. That would be pretty awesome. You know, we had Matt Pittman at the Firehouse Tour on Friday.
Yeah,
stopped by. It was great to meet him. I never gotten to meet him. And I showed
he's
him.
He's a great guy.
The Minnesota State Fair is coming out, like first of its kind, fried ranch dressing. And I showed him a picture of it, and he was like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. I think he's going to try it. I think he's going to give it a go.
Damn.
Fried ranch. Yeah, I don't know how they do this thing.
It's like the fried butter. Like, how the hell do they do that?
I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly how they do it, but he was raving about how it looked, and he thought the fried ranch was a great idea.
Okay.
So
next thing you know, we got a fried ranch video on Meat Church.
Yeah. I think that would be exciting for everybody. Okay, now we have SEC Media Days going on. Do you guys... Is this football or ball sack here?
Football.
This is an anonymous Alabama player quote reacting to Nick Saban not picking Alabama to play in the SEC title game.
Mm. Yeah, because he went Texas, Georgia.
He went Texas, Georgia.
Yeah.
And so football or ball sack here, anonymous Alabama player quote in response to Saban not picking the Crimson Tide to appear in the SEC title game, quote, he always said, don't let some guy who lives in his mom's basement determine how you feel. I'm not going to let a guy who plays golf all day determine how I feel.
I'm going to say that is that's definitely ball sack. But I think this is genius by Nick Saban. And I'll tell you why after Broadus and Volchuk answer your question.
Football or ball sack, boys?
Oh my gosh. I kind of want to lean football here. I think we got a ticked off Alabama player. He's retired, right? He's going to be playing golf, even though he's not really. He's getting all the inside information and giving it right back down.
No, apparently Saban says he's on the golf course every morning at 7:30. And then he says within an hour.
And then he works.
He says he can't even get to the back nine before his wife, Miss Terry, is texting him his to-do list for the day around the house.
He tries.
He's going to do that coaching before we know it.
I'm going to say ball sack.
You're going to go ball sack?
Yeah.
All right. Wolchuk, you win.
Let's go, football guy of the day.
Alabama guard Tyler Booker with some words for his former coach.
Okay, so the reason I think this is a genius Saban stuff is he always saying the media was poison, compliments are poison. He wants Bama to win, and the best thing he can do to make that happen right now is to put that out there. Those guys are reading it. It's motivating him. Did you see what Coach said?
He's providing bulletin board material,
right.
Chestnut checkers. Or does he? Is he? If you're Nick Saban, I think
he believes it.
If you're Nick Saban right now.
Yeah, I think he believes it.
Human nature.
He got beat by Texas last year.
Are you, human nature Nick Saban, are you actually secretly rooting against Alabama and everything that they have going forth for the next few years?
No. You're not? I think I might be.
Well, while they're still, writing him a check.
Yeah, he quit. He retired.
But it's not like the check stops clearing when Alabama starts to suck.
Yeah, but he didn't get fired.
His respect becomes even more and more and more. Nick, we might need to give you a pay raise because we need more football czar from you.
No, that's a good point. I guess like I was just thinking of it as if they start losing, well, then what the hell are we still paying you for? You're obviously not helping the case at all here, so there goes that job for you. But maybe they try and just bring him back.
Yeah, I could see him kind of secretly, actively rooting against.
But he can't pick Alabama. People are just going to be like, you're biased, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to just pick against them.
That's the tough spot that he's in, all these guys. It's like any former player, now you get in there and you got to kind of show some respect. I get it, but
Texas is damn good in the West. Texas is going to be a problem for everybody in the SEC.
Are you guys buying Texas versus Georgia SEC title?
They're going to play in the regular season. We're going to get to see that matchup.
What game is Texas going to lose? You know, that maybe
what gimme game?
What game are they going to lose that's going to cost them the opportunity to be in this game?
Well, now they don't have the divisions.
They didn't do that
anymore.
Last year. They won them all.
Yeah. So, I mean, now it's all about just you got to finish the top two in the standings.
They win the Oklahoma game. That's true. Yeah.
But Man, I don't know. I could buy it, yes, but I think that Ole Miss is going to be sneaky, not even sneaky good. Like, Ole Miss is legit. Mizzou's going to be good this year. I mean, the SEC is going to be a daunting task, as always. And can Texas play a tough schedule like that every single, not shots fired at the Big 12, but it's a little bit of a step up here in the SEC.
I'm just thinking that Alabama with completely new coach and staff there is not going to be as good as they were. They'll have players. I don't know, with Milroe as the quarterback, a lot of people really like him. I don't know about that, especially with learning a whole new offense and having to adjust all that. You're right about Ole Miss. They're going to be a lot better, but Ole Miss will find a way to lose a game they're not supposed to.
Yeah, that's true.
But Texas and Georgia do play each other. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Texas loses 13 players to the NFL. Is that a sign that they're great, they're cranking out players, they got more great players, or is that too much to overcome? I think that's the big question.
They hit the portal hard. They did a good job in the portal. Their speed that they have at wide receiver is something
offensive
legit.
Line.
Their line's really – yeah, they're going to have a first round tackle, top 10 tackle this year.
I saw Georgia is going they've been fining their players for their reckless driving issues. They're trying to nip that in the bud, you know, in Georgia.
Like
two more players
points
over the last,
on their driver's license kind of a thing?
Yeah, well, like now that there's like the NIL deals and stuff, Kirby Smart's like, this is how we're trying to mitigate it. Because they've had like 20-plus dudes just in the last like year and a half
fatality
disaster. Mm-hmm. And for all sorts of different levels of – the reckless driving. And so I guess the way he's going about it is finding these dudes NIL-wise. It doesn't seem to like have worked to this point because they just had two more guys get popped in the last couple of weeks. But I'm sure that is I think it's a good attempt, you know, other than just completely kicking these dudes off your team entirely. I saw Joe Pompliano, my Italian brother who covers like the business of sports, and he's breaking down the city of Detroit.
Oh, we talked about this.
Oh, the economic impact?
Yeah, big time. It was awesome. They made a lot of money.
They made a ton of money, dude. And I'm wondering how much, like, will we get the reports from just the All-Star Week here locally for what type of economic impact that just had for the city of Arlington? So I know you said there was a lot of Uber drivers coming in from all over the place to drive here for the week.
I don't know that do you think we got as many people as Detroit did? That place looked packed. It was what, like 213 mil or something like that they ended up getting?
Yeah, the total economic impact was, over 200 million bucks.
Yeah, I wonder what we're going to get here in Arlington.
And Green Bay's next, right?
They are.
They could probably use an influx of cheddar.
I don't know how salute to those people for being that passionate of fans, but it's still colder than hell up there. I'm not standing outside staring at a TV screen for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know necessarily if I'm out of the rest of the country, if I'm coming down to Texas in July to be a tour, you know, guide or tourist, unless... You know, I really love baseball. I think it's a tough sell. Coming to Texas in the summer, going to the North in the winter, that's not where I'm spending my tourism bucks.
I tell you what, I would love for our show on 105.3 the 3 days, I'd love for us to go broadcast all 3 days up at Lambeau Field or wherever they're having it.
That would be a dream.
Do the draft out there?
Do the draft at Lambeau Field.
It would be pretty
in the parking
dang
lot
awesome,
up there. I think that would be so much fun.
Absolute dream that would be.
Looks like somewhere in the neighborhood of 90 to 95 million economic impact for Arlington. Early returns here, courtesy of the fan text. And the Texas fans are coming out right now saying like, hey, Texas plays 6 of the bottom 8 SEC teams this year. So, and then they add OU and Georgia.
They did get a favorable draw.
This might be a really good year for them to capitalize. I know Paul Feinbaum still thinks Archie Manning is going to be the one starting at quarterback by the time the season's over.
The guy's lost his fastball.
But did you see what Daniel Jeremiah said about Quinn Ewers?
Yes.
Yeah.
The pro comp was Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And I kind of
he liked what he saw from him.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jeremiah
if you're an NFL fan and all of a sudden you have a chance to draft Quinn Ewers and the comparison's Baker Mayfield, are you getting excited about that?
Well, Shadors was Geno. We talked about that last week, but
Maybe need to sign Dak Prescott.
Maybe he's just saving himself here. You know, we're going to keep the comps low, and we'll see. I mean, they still got to play a whole other college season. I remember Sam Howell was supposed to be a first-round pick and didn't work out.
We have the odds for the next team that Belichick coaches.
Cowboys 1?
Giants.
You got Giants 1?
I have Giants at 1.
I think he's going to be the Giants coach.
Well, then you would want to capitalize. They got the 5th best odds, 10-1.
That's the job he wants.
They got the Cowboys, though, as the favorite for Belichick. And then the Eagles.
I just don't see Will or Steven allowing that to happen. I just don't.
Cowboys, Eagles, Bears, Raiders, Giants. Those are the top 5 there, odds-wise, to land Billy B. I mean, maybe if Caleb Williams looks amazing But the Bears still can't figure it out because their coach is a bit of an issue. Maybe Bill would be like, forget it. Let's go there. I got myself a stud quarterback. Caleb Williams is everything that a lot of people think he's going
to
be.
I've never seen a coach's stock fall so hard. You know, you might have to go back to Landry.
Well, the problem with Bill is it's that the personnel control. I think teams would love to have him as a coach, much like Parcells was. But I think the problem is, how much personnel control is he actually? Is he going to come in and blow up everything that you've done with your front office, with your scouting department, with your pro guys and all that?
You got to be willing to collaborate. You know, people want to have a little
might
say.
He might not want it. Bill was willing to share, but man, Bill got after the personnel guys.
At one point, I think there would be a long line of teams willing to surrender everything. But the way that ended, you should have no faith in his ability to evaluate a quarterback.
I think he should have been the coach in Atlanta. Man, that Rich McKay killed that when the president of the again, that's people lining up and saying, we can't have this guy here because he's going to blow us all out.
Yeah, they're saving their jobs.
Steven and Will, I don't see them wanting to change how they operate.
So it would take maybe a team like the Bengals, where the owner's like, we're getting rid of everybody and we're bringing in a guy.
Atlanta. That was clearly what Atlanta was, you know, new general manager, new coach.
I would say, Bill, I want you to coach the team. I don't want you buying the groceries anymore, man. Yeah. You did a terrible job with that.
And he was so used to complete authority in New England that it might be too much of a concede for him. He's at an age to retire anyway, just like Saban. The games are changing.
Yeah, but his new 24-year-old girlfriend is giving a new perspective on life these days. So maybe you have just like a different type of a mindset in there.
Why all eyes will be on Arlington again tonight. That story and more. We're coming back with the Expressway. LA Live's coming up at 5:40, and we're back with you here in the nation.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time to hit the Expressway. We're just over 15 minutes away from LA Live with Lucius Alexander now. He replays the G-Bag of the Day for you, does his thing every night here on The Fan. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. The Expressway is brought to you by the On-Time Experts, where, again, we go commercial-free to the top, and we start with a look at the biggest local and national sports stories of the day. Before we get there, though, this one is local. Why all eyes are on Arlington again tonight. Of course, you guys know why, right? Why all eyes are back on
Arlington. Caitlin Clark is in the building.
She is in the house tonight.
Well.
And her and her Indiana Fever teammates are playing better. I know our guy Walt from the podcast, you know, been around The Fan a long time. You see him at remotes and stuff. He's been covering the hell out of this thing. The WNBA media scrum is getting bigger and bigger. I saw a women's soccer team is valued at $250 million now. But yeah, the Fever are now 11-14, and they're heading to Arlington for the first time since the preseason to face the Wings, who are sitting at 5-19.
Ouch.
And the Wings have announced that this is, of course, a sellout. Their sixth sellout of the season.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty impressive for a team playing 260 basketball. Capacity crowd is expected, so I guess you're going to have to hit a secondary if you want to jump on there or try to figure out how you can get a TV feed for something like that. But scale of 1 to 10, how into this game are you tonight with not a lot else going on in the sports world?
Man, I'll be honest with you. The new episode of Presumed Innocent comes out tonight with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Looks like a good show.
Apple Plus, and it is freaking fantastic. So I'm going to be all eyes on that. I'll catch the highlights, though.
This is going to be on ESPN, I see, by the way, in this morning news story, guys. So it's right there for you. Everybody's got ESPN. If you have any sort of cable or streaming package, Ian will check.
Yeah, I'll definitely pop it on. I mean, there's nothing, as you mentioned, there's nothing else on. So while I try and get Eliza to sleep, I will certainly have Caitlin Clark and the Wings on.
Brian?
I think I'll catch a little of it. I don't. I've got to go to a dinner thing after here afterwards.
Oh, so that means you're not watching it.
What time's it start? Is it
7? 6:30.
6:30?
Okay. Yeah, we'll catch the
I'm going to a place that's got TV access, and I wonder if they'll have it on. They usually have on sporting events and stuff like that, so I probably won't be able to hear the sound, but I'll be able to see what's going on.
It's been such a huge story. I think the coverage of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and all the storylines going on in the WNBA.
Didn't they just get a new deal? They got a $2.2 billion deal, didn't they?
Wow. It's definitely an era of women's sports more than ever.
Years?
You going to be locked in, Lucius?
Yeah, I'm going to have it on the television for sure. ESPN.
Right on.
I'll be listening to a podcast while I'm watching it, though. I won't listen to the broadcast from the television.
It's really, and why is you like to double consume?
Get greedy. We're adults, man. We don't have a lot of time, so you got to shove it all in at one time.
You got to double fist that entertainment from time to time.
Okay. Efficient use of your time, sir.
Hang on, man. Am I right about this WNBA deal? I think they did. I think they just got a new $2 billion deal, or they're talking about it.
It's big money. You're throwing
11
was
years.
Was it the NBA that got $2 billion? This is overall $2 billion for 10 years or 11 years?
11 years, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the NBA is getting like $1.9 billion per year their pie. It's not never going to catch the NFL, but it's getting closer to the NFL's numbers from like...
WNBA secures a $2.2 billion TV deal. Could be even more. That was 36 minutes ago on Forbes.
Okay. All right. Well, congrats to them. I think that should get the cash flowing a little bit better.
It's a deal, by the way. I'm sorry. I just... giving it to you here. The NBC, Amazon, and Disney are the ones that are all involved in this.
Okay, we stay in Arlington for our next story here. Evan Grant did a heck of a job covering the All-Star game. He has winners and losers from the contest. The first winner is Arlington, a very memorable All-Star game, significantly better than the last time. In 1988, they hosted a 400-foot home run from Shohei Ohtani, the beautiful building, obviously Marcus Semien getting the hit, the 10-pitch perfect inning from Kirby Yates. That was fantastic as well, big winner. Bobby Witt Jr. in his final swing in the home run derby came up just short, grazing the fence, but he made his All-Star game debut, the kid from Colleyville right here. In his hometown, that's pretty cool. Adrian Beltre, a big winner, gracefully allowing the spotlight to shine on him. This is one of the big concerns of people around baseball. Like, Adrian Beltre is so humble and modest. How much would he want the attention? He's turned down opportunities and, but Adrian Beltre on his final approach to the Hall of Fame week and enshrinement appears to now be... playing along in a major way, and that's a terrific sign for him and his celebrity here as we go into this.
Do you think this was a good selling point potentially for All-Star players coming here and being like, okay, this is what it's like? Maybe like you're hoping that your city can seduce them to want to come here at some point when they get the opportunity, but I don't know if the summer heat is like, oh, I wouldn't want to be here, or does the indoor ballpark make up for that?
I think that they love the ballpark. I think that everything from what I've heard is players do think the facilities there at Globe Life Field and the ballpark are fantastic.
Okay, losers, and salute to Evan for pointing this out. The Texas typecasting that had Brian so jammed up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, but if MLB had leaned any harder into the whole Old West thing, pitching changes would have been made via six shooters. There were horses, stagecoaches, and trick ropers on the field before the game.
Oh, gosh.
The draft was held in an actual rodeo arena. The introductory video ahead of the game featured a swinging door saloon theme, and what Deion Sanders, who narrated and appeared in the video, had to do with any of this remains the biggest puzzle of the week, writes Grant, especially since nothing says Texas like a guy wearing a Colorado sweatshirt. Yeah, that's some good winners and losers there from Evan Grant, and that... I don't know. I guess it's just something that, Texas has a unique brand, and you deal with some of the downside of that as well. But Sean McFarland joined us last hour. Piece in the morning news that he wrote about Max Scherzer since his return. Has Max been better than expected since he debuted? Bruce Bochy said he would never say that with Max. Must be a tough course. But Max saying, I didn't come in here thinking I was going to be bad. I'd say this might be story of the year so far, right? To come back from that injury, have a secondary injury causing numbness in his arm to the point that people were not sure if he would even pitch again. If at age 39, Scherzer could have like a Verlander with the Astros type of impact, this is like one of the reasons you can build a strong argument that the Rangers are going to come from, you know, mid-pack and look like a contender here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I would have thought to myself that at this point he wouldn't have at least missed one of his scheduled starts, mm-hmm. you know. And then the fact that he's actually pitching pretty dang well, it is amazing.
Okay, speaking of the Rangers doing big things, I had this thought earlier and I was like, let me save this for the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys endorse the idea of using a roster spot to get Hedgie back with that magic number on his ass? The trade deadline is approaching. The vibes have not been nearly as immaculate since Hedgie walked out that door. Heim's healthy. I think there's something to be said for chemistry, guys. And if I'm CY, that's something that is amongst my considerations here coming down the next couple weeks.
You know what? I like what Hedgie did. I'm trotting Eric back into the clubhouse and letting him sit on the couch.
I mean, that's what I'm doing. That's a hell of a Hail Mary.
I'm not having to give up a prospect or anything like that. I'm just taking a chance that...
You could probably get Hedgie for a cash consideration.
Well, no, yeah. I don't think the Guardians are giving up Hedgie.
They use him. He plays. He actually plays.
They
love him.
And they're like right now one of the best teams. They got the best record in the American League. So for whatever reason, they really valued Hedgie, who is a very good defensive catcher. He's just not a great offensive catcher, but he plays
the hell
a lot.
Out of a pitch.
Yeah, he plays a lot.
Played there early in his career, didn't he?
Yeah. So yeah. I don't think that he's really available, but I like where you're going with that. I mean, he did have immaculate vibes there.
We're missing a minister of culture.
There's a guy that galvanizes it, helps guys believe, keep things light. Not, you know, I think everybody in this clubhouse is outstanding, but if things just aren't clicking, I'm like, maybe we bring back, you know, some of that chemistry type stuff. Hmm. The biggest Maverick story of the day, we talked about it in our opening segment today, Kyrie Irving broken hand, guys. What is your level of concern with this story?
I asked somebody in the organization about this. I said, hey, how did this guy break his hand? He says, I have no idea. Mm. I mean, this guy, like I say, I'd like to think that my sources kind of know what's going on, but it's like he said, if you find out, let me know. Yeah, so I don't know why or
man
how this
said it
happened.
Was well training.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm a little confused. Well,
we
by
got
this
two and a half
thing.
Months, and I mean, I guess it is his non-shooting hand, but he does switch hands. I mean, he uses both. We saw him have the lefty floater to beat the Nuggets with that gorgeous buzzer beater. So, I mean, it's fair to have some concern, right? How does that thing heal? But I think that he'll be ready to go, hopefully, by the time camp rolls around.
Yeah, a broken hand shouldn't be that big of a deal. I think it happened at a really good time. I think more than concern for training camp or start of the season, it's just a reminder that Kyrie Irving has been a little bit of an injury-prone guy. Any concerns about building around Kyrie? Do we want to revisit that narrative at all, or do you think he's locked in as one of your guys here for at least the foreseeable future?
Well, I mean, he's going into a player option year, I think. So I don't know that you can really extrapolate it farther than this season and maybe one more. And then after that, I mean, that could be all she wrote for the Kyrie era here based on his age and what the team's going to need at the time. But I still feel good about, assuming he bounces back from this hand issue, I do still think he is a top tier kind of guy that alongside Luka and Klay is going to give defenses just a ridiculous amount of fits.
Yeah.
Bucks forward Chris Middleton recovering from arthroscopic surgeries, both ankles this offseason, according to multiple reports. A three-time All-Star reportedly expected to be ready for the start of the season, though. Okay. Charles Haley, quote, on Dak Prescott, says the Cowboys should trade him because basically now they're in cap hell. $58 million cap hit is still due after this year. I imagine what the Cowboys are going to do is what they do with new contracts, make the first year effectively as low as possible of a cap hit and use that to absorb the majority of the $40 million hit from next year. But even if you were a massive Dak fan, I think this Charles Haley idea is interesting. And you have to acknowledge the best way out is to find a cheap veteran and a rookie to get you out of cap trouble, reset your cap, but also get you an opportunity to take advantage of the best thing cooking in the NFL right now, and that is a credible starting quarterback on the rookie salary scale. Like, even if you're going back and forth, like, yeah, is Dak the guy? Is he good enough? This, that, and the other thing. Then you throw in the ability to reset your cap, go fishing in the draft for a player, you know, that can just go out there and be a Purdy. You know, that's what I think the goal of this front office should be or would be if I was in charge. What do you think about what Charles Haley had to say about the Cowboys should trade Dak Prescott?
Well, they can't trade him. He's got a new trade clause, so he'd have to sign off on wherever they trade him. But they're not going to go into the season without Dak Prescott, so they've missed their opportunity to do that. If they were going to trade him, they should have looked at doing it this offseason, and he's a free agent after this year. So unless maybe, like, hey, you go ahead and you say we're punting on the season at the trade deadline, like Eric was talking about earlier, and we've never seen that happen. That would be an unprecedented move, but it'd be crazy. Maybe the team like the Jets, Rodgers goes down again, a team that's contending needs a quarterback, you flip him. But, yeah, I just don't think that it's likely that they trade him, but they could very likely move on from him. It just asks, it opens up so many questions because of their inability to really have the eye for a franchise quarterback. They've lucked into their last two. So I'm open-minded to that now based on what we've seen over the last 9 years. You probably need to try something new, but to have utter faith that they're just going to fall into a quarterback in the draft, that's not always the case.
I just don't know what your path is. I feel like you got to choose one of these players that are about to be due for a deal and say, this is the guy we should move on from. And yeah, no trade clause, but if you say, look, there's no way we're going to sign you. This team wants you. Mm-hmm. This team could be a playoff team with you. I think it would be easy to talk a guy into a midseason trade. But yeah, you know, more than that, I just don't know what their path out of this cap hell is.
Yeah.
Relative to trying to build a good enough team. We know they won't make the proper all-in move. You're going to saddle them with not only a big, you know, a cap bill due in 2025, but also in 2026. And then you're just going to start tacking back onto that with the new contract. I think there's got to be some sacrificial lamb. And if it's not Dak, it should be Parsons.
I wonder if the rules, and maybe I've got this wrong, but if they trade him, that cap charge comes full altogether.
Yeah.
It's not broken up anymore. It is, you are charged the full amount of what's due.
It accelerates instantly.
Yeah, you're just getting something in return instead of letting him walk freely. Yeah.
Longhorns coach Steve Sarkisian says we're going to need both Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning this season. Manning had an incredible spring game. Do you think this could be the year? And what does Steve mean by that? I mean, that sounds like a quarterback controversy in the making to me.
He's just trying to make both guys happy. And, you know, Arch has been pretty good about this. You know,
I think Arch is happy.
He's like, he's cool with what's going on, and you know, he'll play out whatever he has to play out. And if Quinn Ewers doesn't play well, a lot of expectations for Quinn Ewers this year. I mean, a lot. I mean, they're like, hey, Nick Saban's picking them to win the SEC West, you know, and be in the playoff, right? I mean, be in the SEC title game. So a lot of pressure on him, and I think he's trying to keep both options open for his quarterbacks, make them feel good about themselves.
Quinn Ewers, a good enough player to take you on a magical ride? Is he an elite guy? Is he that guy that can carry a team?
There were four downs against Washington last year where he looked just so normal at the end of that football game.
I don't think he's elite, but I think he's good enough to get you into the playoff. He did it a year ago.
Right.
Arlington Renegades selected head coach Bob Stoops' son, OU wide receiver Drake Stoops, in the UFL draft. So best of luck to both Stoops out there. Hopefully they can rekindle that 2023 magic. And Real Madrid star Jude Bellingham is on the cover of EA Sports FC 25. EA made the reveal and released the first trailer for the game on Wednesday. Had the iconic bicycle kick in the 89th minute against Slovakia to save their campaign. And then Harry Kane got the winner early in extra time. I believe that was in the quarterfinal round. Okay, but an absolute star, a sensation out there. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has LA Live.
Yeah, it's a Butt Naked Wednesday. Let's get into it right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. It's time you smoke.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toast.
you dance with some of everything.
What's this?
Everybody get high.
Recognizes that.
Hey,
regular order.
Because Jack Dorsey is trying to influence the election, to sway the election.
What's she saying? I can't understand her. What?
Steal the election. What? That is why what she's censoring and shadow banning.
How many down? 12 and a half, 15, 7 down, $20, 2 and a half, 5, 7 and a half, 30. Hit $30 down here, 2 and a half, 5, 35, 7 and a half, 40. Hit $40, 2 and a half, 5, 5, 45, 7 and a half, 50. Hit $50 down here, 2 and a half, 5,
55, officer, will you escort this young lady out, please?
Hit 2 and a half, now 5, 65, 7 and a half, 70. What? 2 and a half, now 5, 75, 7 and a half, $80 to 5, 85, 90. Hit $100, 10, 10, 10, a quarter, 1 to quarter, 1 half, 7 and a half, 2, 2, 2 and a quarter. Hit 2 and a half, 7 and a half, 3, able to bomb 300. Hit 3 and a quarter. Cut 3 and a quarter, now half, half, 3 and a half, 7 and a half, 400. Able to 4, 4 and a quarter, 4 and a half. We're selling the cell phone there, 4 and a quarter, 4 and a half. Hit 4 and a half, 475, 500, 5, 5 and a quarter, 5 and a half. I yield back.
It's butt naked Wednesdays.
Yeah. There he goes. This is LA Live for Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. It's a butt naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Word to Miss Badu, I too was born underwater with $3.06. Yeah, you might laugh. That's because you did not do your math. Peace to the gods and the earths. Here is Bobby Belt, which inspired me to play that congressman right here. If Bobby Belt worked at In-N-Out, he would sound just like this.
Cool. So just get a double check with you guys really quick right now. It's going to be the cheeseburger. That's going to be protein style for the burger. Everything on it but the raw onion. It's going to be one double-double. That's going to be everything on it but the onion for the burger. It's going to be one animal sapphire light well. Two waters to go for y'all today. 1610 up at the first window right behind the blue 430 or red.
You're right, man. I need to see a birth certificate because Bobby's the fastest talking native Texan I've ever heard.
Yeah. He's a wild boy. Old Bobby. Old swivel hips.
It's all in the hips. What a character.
LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Mwah! NG bag of the day. We do it every weekday on the fan at 2:30. Don't miss it. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, and you can follow us all. If you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter, shout out to that Tola I seen in the gas station on the day. Hey, Lucius. I thought I was about to get served. I
don't know. That's not me.
You got a folder.
It's LaPaul.
Yeah.
Yes, who?
Our winner, speaking of Bobby, let's go to the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chop?
I did get served recently, by the way. The Homeowners Association dues from like 2022.
Oh.
I kept seeing it in the mail. I was like, whatever, leave me alone. Right?
I
got a knock on the door. Are you Gavin Dawson?
I told you, it's how it happens.
Yep. I bet that bill was fat.
Hey, you were like, of course I am. He's like, here you go. You've been served. And they just walk off.
Yeah. I'm going to pay the rest on time, I think, going forward. I think it was $50 a month.
Yeah, that adds up. That's good. Mine is crazy expensive for no reason.
Oh, no, that was the late fee that had been accruing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's like the toll tag thing you were trying to deal with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, them toll tags don't play, bro.
No, they don't play.
I dropped like $1,500, and that's a negotiated deal.
Yeah.
That thing was way up there. I almost skipped out of town when I seen it. I was like, well, better get on out of here.
Oh, Mexico.
Yeah. yes. Feel the love. Let's feel the love. This is our winner right here, day two. Feel the love for RJ and Choppy Show.
Sorry, go ahead. Did you have more? Your mic's off.
You think
what's wrong with you today?
This
you come in late. You don't have your equipment.
I was not late.
You don't have an earpiece.
I was not late.
You're stuttering and stammering. You don't have your mic on.
I was not
late. Wake up.
I was not late.
And
yeah, look. I mean, stuttering and stammering just means we're twins now, Sean. That's all that is. So,
man, he went in on that while you were out. He kept talking about
RJ snitching, bro.
I guess an insecurity or whatever. And I'm like, I don't even notice.
He was talking about me stuttering.
Yeah, I don't even notice.
No, I did not. If you could ever have your name first or second the show and talk as much as I do, you probably stutter more.
Son.
Yeah.
There's a promo right there, baby. Let's go. Thank you.
Man. Yeah. There's a promo for the day. So Tim doesn't have to bust Bobby's ball. That's the last time I take up for your ass, too.
Ooh.
When you don't, when you want to say something in the meeting, you're too scared to do it. That's the last time I put my neck out there on the line for you. Great dismount.
That's fantastic dismount.
Wow.
Like Dominique Dawes at the end of it.
Found out Bobby's afraid to say things.
Man, I'm talking about that's all. types of snitching going on in that clip. Woo-wee. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Butt Naked Wednesday. Shout out to all 5% of y'all understand. I got a question for the Tolos. I asked this on Facebook. Name an athlete or a celebrity that you feel gets too much unnecessary hate. That you feel gets too much unnecessary hate. I'm going to tell you right now, LeBron James is number one. Okay. In my comments, there were a lot of love for LeBron James, okay. And he feels he gets a lot of unnecessary hate. They say he's a good father, good family man, great businessman, and a good basketball player, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, man, there's so many great qualities about LeBron. I think I'd have a hard time finding somebody that's stronger than that, but I'm going to work on it, Lucius. What do they got?
Yeah, my mother-in-law doesn't like LeBron James either. He goes around calling himself a king. He's no king.
That's a crown.
Damn. Number two was Dak.
Yeah,
yeah, I was about to say
Dak. Unnecessary hate on Dak.
Yeah. Even the national shows go after him. And then LeBron as well.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron's good, trying man. To play with Bronny, and nobody's gonna. Nobody cares. I mean, they're all like going after.
Yeah, Bronny's play probably basketball. Getting it too.
Yeah. Oh, Bronny for sure.
Yeah, Bronny's on the list. Bronny gets a whole lot of unnecessary hate. Let me scratch that off.
Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Caitlin Clark is on the list for sure, and Angel Reese.
Well, Angel's getting a lot of love today.
She sure is getting a lot of love. Them 5'6" thighs she's got. Them little old shorts on.
Photos? Oh, some shorts photos.
Yes, some shorts on.
Daisy
yeah.
Dukes, man.
Yeah, she was the third wheel the other day. And, boy, I tell you what, I'm pretty sure she was distracting old boy.
Courtside in the Dukes, man.
Yeah,
that's
man,
a hell of a
come
play.
On, bro. That's almost better than Rihanna with the T-shirts.
Oh, man.
And then she's on Instagram. I can't believe you guys objectifying me. I'm a young lady.
I'm not flying out any of you thirsty
well,
dudes.
That's totally
I'll
fair.
Third wheel forever.
Yeah. That's fair?
Yeah. No, what you're saying.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
Name an athlete or a celebrity that you feel gets too much unnecessary hate. Someone said Floyd Mayweather Jr.
He agitated.
He leans into it.
Yeah. Floyd kind of brings it on himself.
His bit. Yeah. I'm going to make people hate me. If they won't love me, I'm going to make them hate me. Yeah. And he did a great job at it.
Coming out there with a sombrero and poncho on the Mexican holidays. Just trolling. Come on, bro. He know what he's doing. Simone Biles. Gets a lot of unnecessary hate. She had a mental breakdown, and grown-ass men started to disrespect her.
That's what my man Amon said.
Shout out to Amon. What up, bro?
Yeah, she just said she was feeling unsafe, right? That was the last.
Twisties?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was lost in the air.
Yeah. Seems like she's back, though.
Oh, she's back.
Yeah.
She gets like 12 feet in the air on some of these routines crazy. That she's got. That's insane. She's not even 5 feet tall.
Over-rotates.
The hate was like. She just used that as an excuse because she thought she would lose type of thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I believe her. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She's an American hero.
See, there goes that hate.
The championships were here recently for the Olympic theme and stuff. And, you know, and they had other participants, like other Olympians saying, like, you get these twisties. It's not,
no, it's
not
a real easy. Deal.
I don't know how they do that.
It's not easy to deal with. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's real deal.
Yeah.
Let's see. James Harden. They said James Harden gets a lot of unnecessary hate.
Yeah, is that hate or is that just doubting him as a true great? You know? Like, his playoff record kind of brings up the jokes. You know, his playoff scoring output, stuff like that.
He had one good defensive play, I remember, in the playoffs. One time. That's all I
got. One time, though. Man.
One amazing defensive play. Barry Bonds. They say Barry Bonds gets a lot of unnecessary hate. Okay. What do you guys think about that? Is that unnecessary or is it warranted?
I think he brings some of it upon himself.
Yeah, you think so?
Well, I mean, not as a player, but like when he, nowadays, he's kind of like that whole thing when he was at the. You know, the Willie Mays when they're at the field in Birmingham and all that, some of the things he said, and everybody's like,
his ego popped out.
Yeah, his ego's like, they're talking, asking him.
Satchel Paige. He's like,
I'm taking him yard. You know,
and that man got that dog in him, bro. Yeah. Got that dog in him.
He didn't want to play the media game at all. Mm-hmm. And so the people that would have told his story in a positive light all hated him. Mm-hmm. Everybody that covered him, a lot of teammates. Mm-hmm. He was just real serious and surly and about hitting home runs. And, you know, I think if you don't take the time to, like, sow those relationships and build goodwill, it'll come back to get you. I don't know. There were so many people cheating, though. I could never get around to, like, not liking a guy because he got caught for what tons of people were doing.
Everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
I try to feel that same way about Lance Armstrong, but he was kind of nasty with it, though.
He was so mean.
He was nasty.
People's lives.
Yeah, no,
he Lance deserves it.
He would, like, create lawsuits, you know, to take you to court just because you were telling the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an all-time liar. Like, historical.
He's an all-time believer.
All-time liar. I think he might be, at least for sports, I think he's the one seed.
I think he convinced himself that it's the truth.
Yeah. Like,
that's how good of a liar he
is. And he was willing to tear down anybody else's life around him.
Yeah, he doesn't even think he's lying.
He doped so much better, though, than the... But everybody was doping, you know?
He just did it the best.
He was just the best of the dopers.
He had that thing dialed.
Somebody on the fan text said, Jesus received the most unnecessary hate of all time.
Hey, dude.
Yeah. We'll take Baracus!
Well, what people get hated on, you know?
Terrell Owens gets a lot of unnecessary hate, the Tolos say.
Yeah. There's some understanding going on there, I would say.
How about Rondo?
Rondo. I
he's
understand
so much
that
of a non-factor now.
Damn,
I don't even worry about him.
Jeez,
it seemed like he's.
No, I'm seriously. When I mean, that's the first time we talked about Rondo in what, months?
Yeah,
we even brought his name up, talking about. We went through the whole NBA playoffs and didn't talk about him one time. I don't believe.
He did give up on your team, so I think you're a Mavs fan, you but hate him. But Boston loves him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Boston loves.
He's a polarizing guy. I'm gonna throw out Adam Sandler. You know,
he gets a lot of unnecessary hate.
Yeah. You know, I grew up at a time that really appreciated that. That was right in my wheelhouse of like 16 to 25 years old, where Adam Sandler is at his peak. He's a freaking comedic legend to me.
Yeah.
But I feel like 7 or 8 years ago, the narrative started that he's not funny and he's overrated. And that might be the case now.
Hmm.
But dang it, his catalog is tremendous.
Yeah.
He just looks so dirty sometimes.
Yeah.
Looks like he takes spit baths.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to argue.
But he's funny. He
walks around like cargo shorts and working boots.
Yeah.
With a t-shirt.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Two sizes too big.
Oversized basketball shorts.
Just like a depressed housewife.
Incredible. He can hoop, too.
To like an award show, too. There's like a red carpet.
Yeah, he just doesn't care.
Michael Jordan is highly disrespected by today's generation, Antolo says.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Highly disrespected. Tony Romo is on the list for having the most unnecessary hate out here.
If you're a Cowboy quarterback.
Yeah, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. Somebody says Nickelback. Yeah, no reason, bro. I love Nickelback. I can cry to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Look at his photograph.
That's probably one of the better ones in regards to celebrities.
Yeah,
it's like it just became a huge, like, national trolling bit that everybody just got on.
Yeah.
I feel that way about Journey. You know, like, Journey's a punchline band.
Sure.
You put on a Journey's greatest hits, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
His voice is incredible.
Yeah. Stephen A. Smith gets a lot of unnecessary hate. The man is just a great actor.
If you can look at him through that prism,
I can't.
Then yes.
But if he's acting, then he's bringing that on himself.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
Because why would you choose that role anyway? Yeah. Shikari Richardson gets a lot of unnecessary hate. She sure does.
Watch this. Was it the Sprinters or the Sprints? Is that what's the show?
Yeah. It's probably just, it's the media, right? The media probably doesn't like her because she'll clap back at the media.
Yeah.
I like it. Stand your ground.
Yeah, I like it. Ever since Usain Bolt said, hey, just be quiet and show them what it's like do the work on the track. Yeah. She came through.
I'll tell you what, though, like, and this happened at the trials, when the athletes win and then start crying, that's an instant tune out for me. I can't sit there through the triumphant tears.
You respect, like, Super Bowl loss tears? Do you respect that more?
Yes, I respect Super Bowl loss
tears. Not sad sports tears, but not happy tears.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Wow.
I don't know what it is about it, but I'm like, I got to get out of here.
You just won. Why are you crying?
Yeah,
wow. Is that the vibe?
Look at them all.
Maybe
happy
it's
and
achieving a childhood dream, and it's all coming together at the perfect
time.
Emotional. And
then
they start. It just seems
that's
so.
Why,
look at me.
I'm putting it on the question.
That's why I can't watch like like award shows when people win and they give speeches.
What's wrong with y'all, man?
I can't watch it.
Bro, y'all need to go talk to somebody about that. What happened to you in your past? You need to go talk to somebody about that.
I never watched, like, the Academy Awards or any of that stuff.
Look at them all happy because they're achieving their goals.
Heisman Trophy.
You don't like the speeches? Well, I mean, the speeches.
I don't like the speeches.
I'm a broken man, Lucius.
Hey, that's all great.
I'm going to ask the players in Oxnard now, all of them, when was the last time you sports cried?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We'll have to decide.
That's a good one.
And when they give theirs, we'll look at Gavin and Brian and say, is that acceptable?
Do you approve?
And you got to answer honestly. You can't just, because they're sitting in front of you.
I kind
of
feel like that you're weak, I would say.
Let them know.
I think it's a weak move on your part, but hey, who cares other than me
and Dawson? Maybe the reporter wait until they're done and then circle back around.
When they finally get their moment.
They're gasping for breath. Yeah, they just won the damn 800, and you're trying to interview them 30 seconds later. They're crying,
Bubba
choking.
Bubba Watson, when he won the Masters, he couldn't get through without crying the whole time.
Yeah, but you're still the one that's drafting Caleb Williams number one overall after he was boohooing his mom's bosom. You're still drafting him number one overall.
It's a good point.
Like, was that a losing cry?
Yeah, it was a losing cry.
They're okay with the losing cry.
He lost equity in the Bears, bro. I would cry too.
Yeah, it's a triumphant cry.
Hundreds of millions of dollars.
He went into the crowd. He wasn't like in front of me doing
That's okay. If he cries after winning the Heisman, though, don't do that.
Right. We're all human. Go cry to your mama. You're on TV.
He did.
Everybody needs a good cry every once in a while.
Look at this person all happy. Before we get out of here, let's see. Did I say Nick Cannon?
No.
Nick Cannon gets a lot of unnecessary hate. He's a genius. Nick Cannon's hilarious.
He's got all the kids, right? He's got an insurance policy on his onions.
He had to, man.
Yeah, he's got all the kids, but so does, like, somebody else.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek.
Who's the most likable guy with all the kids?
I mean, if you're...
It's not Elon Musk.
John Cena.
It is interesting. For having done a lot of bleeped up things, Tyreek Hill is still likable. I still like Tyreek.
He's funny.
Hey, I mean, he's all right.
He's funny.
I hate his nickname, the Cheetah.
Yeah.
Lucius has an issue with you now.
I don't like.
There's something about him that I just find entertaining.
I get it. Very. That's that Florida on him. Yeah. Florida boys.
But he has done some messed up stuff, man.
Yeah. Before we get out of here.
And the pot ain't called the kettle black.
Josh Hamilton gets a lot of unnecessary hate. Tiger Woods, Bryce Harper.
Oh, no. Josh Hamilton deserves all that hate at this point. Yeah. I mean, he beat up his daughter.
Chris Brown.
Tiger Woods is a good one.
Bleep Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, for no reason they got mad at Tiger.
Yeah.
His wife should be mad. Y'all all worried about it. Well, he sold the family to us, you know. And that was his brand. Like, shut up.
Yeah. People at the Waffle House are having problems with this right now.
Chris Brown, Kawhi Leonard. Kurt Angle got a lot of hate. Mm. I get it. I hated Kurt Angle, too.
He wasn't likable.
He was just too much.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Westbrook.
Got him. Why'd you do that?
Damn.
You said you weren't going to do that.
Damn. John Wall and Mello. All right, y'all. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I mean, the body of water. That's my time. I had some more stuff to you, but I ain't got time.
You doing Barack Obama.
You doing the John Wall. Isn't that the John Wall dance that he did? Something like that?
Yeah, do a little Dougie. Do a little Dougie.
Get the John Wall.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. It's Dougie-ish. All right, y'all go. I'm gone.
There he goes. Lucius Alexander, every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Time for a proper round tripper, Woolchuck. Around the Bases brought to you by Uber Eats. Where are we going?
Mid-season awards and what's the weirdest reason you ever quit something? That's next in the Nation.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.